Your basketball appointment show starts now. This is Bucks Weekly, your weekly checkup of your Milwaukee Bucks and all around the rest of the NBA. And now here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Bucks Weekly on the air here, one day removed from not the first instance of Dame time, but this was the first time that it was a buzzer beater with Damian Lillard at the horn. A walk-off 35-foot three-pointer to lift the Bucks to a very big victory over the Sacramento Kings, arguably their best win of the season. All things considered, night two of a back-to-back, their third game in 4 days. They were playing without Chris Middleton. They did not execute very well down the stretch. Let's just be clear about that. But to fall behind by six in overtime in a game that really pained you to see go to overtime to begin with, we heard from Adrian Griffin afterwards, it's a gritty team, it's a tough team. They had the resolve and the fight to come back and win that one. And some big plays down the stretch. You know, we talked about this quite a bit on Bucks Talk last night, but there were some open looks that just didn't fall late in the fourth quarter and in the overtime as well from Pat Connaughton, from Brook Lopez and others. And when it mattered most, those shots fell. Pat Connaughton with a big three to tie the game in overtime. And Brook Lopez with one of the biggest shots to make that a one-point game. You need some luck. You got to be healthy. You got to be lucky. You got to be good to win in this league and in any league. And look, the Bucks, knock on wood, have been very healthy all season long, with the exception of Jay Crowder. Some news on that that we'll get to momentarily. They were lucky as well when you had three missed free throws by the Sacramento Kings down the stretch. Now, it was a Giannis missed free throw in regulation that basically sent it to overtime, but the Bucks see the Kings miss three of their own, and then they capitalize on the other end. So a big win for the Bucks, who now sit at 28-12 on the season. Next game is Wednesday night in Cleveland against the Cavaliers. So this is an interesting stretch of the schedule for the Bucks, where your next five games over the span of 2 weeks are not only all against the Central Division, they are against two teams specifically. Wednesday in Cleveland against the Cavaliers. Then you get two more days off, and you play one of those baseball series in Detroit. Saturday afternoon, perfect timing with everything else that's going on Saturday. Saturday afternoon, 2 o'clock tip in Detroit for game one of two against the Pistons. You wrap up that series Monday night, and then you return home for another series. Two games, both at home, against those same Cleveland Cavaliers. So this is really one of the last few parts of the schedule for the Bucks that I don't want to take anything away from the opposition and overlook teams. But this is one of the last few stretches you have where you are inundated with very winnable games. And I mentioned that about Cleveland, who are a good team, because they're still going to be shorthanded. They're still playing without Evan Mobley and Darius Garland. But we've continued to point to this, that once you get to the tail end of the month, that's when things start to pick up a little more. After that two-game series with the Cavaliers at home, you have a back-to-back. Friday is your second game, Friday the 26th, your second game against those Cavaliers. Then Saturday the 27th, Zion Williamson and the New Orleans Pelicans come to town. Then you depart for the West in Denver against the Nuggets. A couple of days later in Portland against the Trailblazers. But then you have a road game against the Dallas Mavericks, in Utah against the Jazz, who already beat you once handedly. And that's always been a tough place to play for the Bucks. Then you find yourself in Phoenix, another place that used to be a house of horrors for the Bucks. The Timberwolves come to Milwaukee. And really, once you get through, and by the way, your last few games leading into the All-Star break, again with the Nuggets, the Heat, and the Memphis Grizzlies. But once you get through that All-Star break is when everything really starts to pick up. Your first game out of the break is in Minnesota against the Timberwolves. Then in Philadelphia against the 76ers, and the month of March is, if not the most difficult in terms of opponent win percentage, one of the most difficult that is out there in all of the NBA. So that is why last night was important. And all of these games, between now and the All-Star break are important for the Bucks because you're continuing to see more signs of not that they have fully turned the corner, but getting to that point. You don't want to start to dig yourself a hole and say we're losing winnable games now. When that schedule picks up, you don't want to be in the spot where you have to start winning games and have to hope that that chemistry is fully baked in and there, because that's a difficult, difficult schedule. So these games that the Bucks continue to win, those are important to keep the pace with the Boston Celtics, the Philadelphia 76ers as well, who played earlier today. We'll get you updated on that score, as today is a very big day, obviously in America, but in the NBA as well. This is one of their big days throughout the season, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and a handful of teams in action earlier today as we got games scheduled all throughout the day. So we will get you caught up on those scores. We're going to hear from Gale Klappa, and this week his interview is with A.J. Green. So we'll hear that interview coming up momentarily. I will get into it in more detail, but I mentioned the Jay Crowder news. Jay Crowder taking to Instagram to announce he's back. We heard from Adrian Griffin over the weekend. It was a matter of days. He was very close. Well, it appears that day is going to be Wednesday in Cleveland against the Cavaliers. So that is a big boost for the Bucks. We'll take a look at the lift you can expect from Jay Crowder. And some very interesting numbers if you are in that camp that thinks, look, I recognize there are things that need to improve, but I feel very good about where the Bucks currently sit and how this team projects to play in the postseason. If you do feel that way, there are some very interesting numbers that came across earlier today that will certainly back that up. We'll get into that and the details on Jay Crowder's return coming up. But first, we go courtside and to hand things off to Gale Klappa. And again, this week, his conversation with Bucks shooting guard A.J. Green. You will hear that conversation next on Bucks Weekly.
The next era of Bucks basketball is here.
Lillard, three-pointer for the lead. It's game time.
Giannis just inside the three-point line, working on Orlando Robinson. Spins around him, and goodness gracious.
This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Tonight, we'll unpack it all with a guy who's been in the middle of it all, the president of the Bucks, Peter Fagan. And our special guest tonight, who's traveling with the team, is Bucks general manager John Horst, by far the best record in the league. And Chris Middleton is a huge part of that thrill ride.
The source for the inside scoop on every dribble, drawn up play, and decision made. Now, here's your host, Gale Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gale Klappa, and this is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. We're approaching the midpoint, the halfway mark of the long NBA season. 40 games, now in the books. For the Bucks, it's been a tale of the good, the bad, and the ugly, but the good is far outweighing the other two. As the team hits the road this week, they pack their bags with the second-best record in the East and three straight home wins under their belts. Giannis, well, he continues to amaze. Dame is pouring in 25 points a game, and cash money Middleton is beginning to look like his all-star self again. So game on. Tonight, we sit down with one of the young Bucks. He's part of a talented bench mob, and A.J. Green has proven that he can shoot the lights out. A.J., good to be with you. Welcome to Courtside.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me. I'm excited to be on the show.
Well, we'll dig right in, A.J. You witnessed a little history last night. 5 seconds left, Bucks down by two in overtime, and Damian Lillard splashes a 35-footer for his first buzzer beater as a Buck. It was Dame time. If you will, describe the play for us as you saw it, A.J., from the sideline.
Yeah, it was incredible, first off. But just being on the sideline, you know, you mentioned it. We knew we wanted to go to Dame. It's just a matter of how we were going to kind of make that happen. And they took away Giannis initially. So I think Dame just hit Brooke, and kind of Brooke just pitched it back. And, you know, Dame had time and space to get a running start and just make a play. And that's what he did. You know, I saw as soon as he got past half court and then kind of got into that little escape dribble going left. And as soon as he elevated up, I knew just as a shooter, I think when you have that space and time to just get to your spot, then you'll feel good about, you know, the shot and live with the result. And, you know, obviously he's Dame, and that's what he does, and he knocked it down. And I think just to be a part of that. You know, you've seen it so many times and what he's done, but to have him on your team and be a part of it was pretty special and a lot of fun.
Oh, I can imagine. Well, it looked like one tough shot. Sidestep, off balance, fade to the left, and 35 feet out.
Yeah, no, it's not an easy shot, and there's not many people that can, you know, when it comes down to it, knock that down for the win.
And as a young player, AJ, it's got to be a tremendous positive for you to watch and practice with one of the best long-distance shooters of all time. Tell us, if you will, what you're learning as you sit with Dame and as you work with Dame all season long.
Yeah, I really just try and observe as much as possible, you know, of what goes into, you know, success for him, and especially shooting. And, you know, obviously it comes down to just putting a lot of time in and working hard. And Dame's, that's what he's about, and he's proven that. And, but I also just notice the consistency of every shot that he takes, getting to, you know, his lift point, his release on his shot, and just also his adaptability of the different shots that he has. So I think I've just tried to observe that and, you know, watch how he gets to his shots and his spots, you know, and try and, you know, take that from him and learn that and add that to my game.
And, AJ, you're sitting next to another tremendous three-point shooter, new to the Bucks this year, but a veteran player, Malik Beasley. Tell us about your interaction with him and what you're learning from Malik.
Yeah, I know. I think it's, you know, similar things. You know, I think all great shooters have common qualities, you know, that make them great. And it's the same thing with Beasley, just his consistency in doing all the little things, you know, that go into shot and into a shot and shooting the same shot every time. And it's just been fun to have somebody to, you know, whether it's in practice or shoot arounds or even in games, kind of just to compete with, you know, about making shots and just making different types of shots and finding ways to just get better and kind of push each other as shooters.
AJ, you look up and down the Bucks roster, and there are shooters everywhere, including you. From your perspective, how's the offense gelling as we approach the midway mark of the season?
I'd say we've just continued to grow. And, you know, sometimes it takes a while. We've got new faces and learning to just play with different people and how to play to their strengths can take time. But I think, you know, we really have shown that we can, you know, get it cooking on the offensive end. Obviously, Dame's going to do his thing. Giannis and Chris, they're so skilled offensively. And I think the more we've just continued to utilize all three of them and figure out how everybody best fits together, we've only continued to get better offensively. And I think the more we you know, share it and get it moving, that it's, you've seen, it's almost impossible for people to guard. They just got to choose, you know, what it is they want to take away.
And, AJ, with the ball moving as it is and with the lanes that are opening up for Giannis, tell us how and what you're seeing in terms of a lot more flexibility for Giannis in scoring.
Yeah, I think it's teams just, you know, having to choose. You know, you got – it can be Dame, Chris, Malik, you know, Brooke and Giannis out there together. And those are, you know, four guys playing with Giannis that can knock down shots. And it just puts so much pressure on defenses to game plan and figure out, you know, because you can't really stop all of it. And so whether it's taking away the threes and Giannis is going to, you know, do his thing and get to the paint, and make plays, get to the free throw line. If not, Giannis is going to make the right play and find shooters, and we're going to knock down shots.
So you got to pick your poison, and we'll have more with AJ Green in a moment. This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
This is Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Back to Gale and Bucks guard AJ Green.
AJ, I understand that you've been playing with a broken nose. When and how did it happen?
So it happened most recently, what is it now? I think about 2 weeks ago. But that was actually the fourth time that it's been broken. Ooh. So I went in for surgery for them to fix it, but they said they I guess they couldn't reset it or it wouldn't move back. So kind of just got to leave it as is. But I've been used to, you know, not being straight for a while. So it's no sweat.
So, AJ, why did they say that they couldn't move the nose back to straighten it?
I think it's just because it's been, you know, beat up so much and it hasn't been straight for, you know, a couple of years now that it's just kind of, whether it's scar tissue or whatever it is, I'm not really sure, but it's kind of just gotten so set in how it was that it's tough to, I guess, get it back straight, I suppose.
And how did it happen? Was it in practice?
Yeah, just, and you know, in practice, just took a shoulder to the nose. So, yeah, but we're good, feeling great, feeling healthy.
So is that why Giannis said you're sacrificing your face for the team?
Yeah, it must be. Somebody's got to do it, I suppose.
Oh, gosh. AJ, I was talking with Coach Griff the other day, and he mentioned that you're 100% locked in, whether it's in practice, at a shoot-around, or playing in a game. And he said, you're as tough as nails. How did you develop that toughness?
I think, you know, it's something you kind of just got to have. Just as a chip on your shoulder. You know, I coming from a smaller mid-major school, I think people might, you know, just looking at me, just kind of, I don't want to say underestimate me, but maybe. So I just, you know, keep that chip on my shoulder and try and just, you know, be a pro and be ready and just bring value and help team win however I can.
And AJ, as a bench player this season, you mentioned about the need to be ready. You never know when you're going to be called on. Talk about the challenge of staying mentally and physically ready to contribute.
Yeah, you know, it's not always easy, but, you know, it's my job. So I want to just do my job and the best that I can to the best of my ability. So I just try and find ways, you know, whether it's throughout the game, staying physically ready, staying warm, and also mentally just, you know, staying locked in as to, you know, what's happening in the game, how teams are guarding, you know, what's open offensively, what's working defensively, just so that I'm, you know, as locked in as best as possible whenever my, you know, number might be called.
And AJ, I noticed that in timeouts, you are active. You're jumping around. You're moving back and forth. Is that one of the techniques you're using to stay locked in?
Yeah, absolutely. Just, you know, trying to get my heart rate up, stay warm, keep my body ready so that I can just go in and, you know, contribute in any way possible.
I bet that shot from Dame last night at the buzzer got your heart rate up.
Oh, yes, it did. That was pretty special.
Well, AJ, how would you rate your play so far this season? You're hitting 44% of your three-point shots, and that's pretty rare air.
Yeah, you know, I'm just, like I mentioned, just any way that I can help the team win and bring value, whatever that might look like, you know, I'm going to do it as best as I can. And so, you know, I'm in there to make shots, and, you know, I'm going to shoot open shots and space the floor. To hopefully give room for, you know, Giannis and Dame and Chris to operate and do their thing. You know, I'm going to compete and play as hard as possible and try and do all the little things that go into winning as well.
AJ, 44% of your three-point shots are going in. What would you consider an incredibly successful season percentage-wise from three-point land?
You know, I can't really say a number. It could be, I think, when the way I look at it is, you know, if I'm taking the right shots, then more times than not, you know, I'm going to knock them down. And if I don't, I'm going to live with the result because I know it's the right shot and shots that I believe I can make and the team needs me to shoot. So, you know, it's hard to say a percentage because I don't want to also, you know, just limit myself. You know, I believe every shot I shoot, I'm able to make. I just try and carry that confidence and, you know, help win games, and then the percentages and different things like that kind of just work out, you know, as they should, I suppose.
No, that makes sense. And AJ, how about your work on defense?
Yeah, just, you know, I believe I can defend and I'm a good defender. So just trying to stay consistent, you know, and show that out there and really just compete, and talk defensively, and just be in the right spot and try and defend without fouling and, you know, just make things tough on the offense. That's kind of just what I try to focus on when I'm out there and, you know, getting stops.
AJ, who's the toughest player you've had to go up against on defense this season?
Let me think. I don't know off the top of my head. I mean, it's, as you know, it's the NBA, and every night there's somebody that's either an all-star or all-NBA player. So I just kind of try to step up to the challenge and, you know, look forward to, you know, being able to get stops, you know, and see where I stand.
Makes sense, and we'll have more with A.J. Green right after this. It's Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Here's more with Gale and Bucks young guard, A.J. Green.
A.J., you come from a true basketball family. Your dad, as I understand it, has been a college coach for years. He even had a stint years ago on the coaching staff at the Marquette Golden Eagles here in Milwaukee.
Yeah, he did. He was here with Tom Crean for a year or two, it might have been. But, yeah, he's at Iowa State now in his third year with T.J. Otzelberger. He's loving that there. But, yeah, basketball family, you know, both my parents played in college. My dad coaches. My sister plays back at Northern Iowa still. So it's kind of just who we are.
A.J., have you taken a one-on-one competition with your sister, and how have you done?
she's the one that she doesn't want to step up to the challenge, I suppose. So she just has limited it to shooting competitions, but she hasn't wanted the one-on-one battles.
And your mom, you mentioned she played basketball as well. Is she as into the game as your dad?
Yeah, she is. She's if you knew who she was, you'd be able to hear her. She's always screaming, super high-pitched voice, cheering and yelling, and she's fully into it. She loves it.
AJ, what's the most important lesson you learned from your dad, longtime college basketball coach?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, there's so many little things, and it goes beyond basketball, but I also think, you know, all the big picture life things can apply to basketball as well. Whether it's just the approach and the enthusiasm to, you know, have fun. That's what the game's about. And that's why you play. You just enjoy and appreciate all the opportunities. But also, you know, to work extremely hard and put the time in. And just him being a coach, he knows what it takes to have success and to win. And I've been blessed enough to just be around that my whole life and to pick those little things up from him.
AJ, in college at Northern Iowa, you were named Player of the Year twice in the Missouri Valley Conference, but in 2022, no NBA team drafted you. Just curious, how did you catch the attention of the Bucks?
I think just with, you know, my ability to make shots, but also just knowing how to play the game. In my IQ and understanding of, you know, basketball and what it takes to win. And so I'm blessed and I'm very grateful that it worked out for me to, you know, start my career here in Milwaukee, as it's only, you know, 4 hours from back home. So family comes quite often to watch and, you know, I don't think there's a better just culture and organization, than, you know, the Bucks. So I love it here and, you know, hopefully can be here for years to come.
Amen. And this summer, speaking of being here for years to come, you signed a 3-year contract with the Bucks. AJ, that had to be a really proud moment for you.
Yeah, it's it's a blessing just to, you know, be here and have that opportunity to play at this level. And, you know, it's always been my dream. And just to, you know, have the work pay off. But I'm just going to keep pushing and, you know, see where this journey can continue to take me.
Well, AJ, we wish you the best of luck for the remainder of the season. Stay healthy and keep that nose from breaking again. You've been listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. So long, everybody.
Bucks Weekly continues here on WTMJ, and I mentioned the good news as it pertains to Jay Crowder. He made it official on his Instagram earlier today that he is back. And look, we had had this conversation before that, you know, Jay Crowder isn't going to fix everything that this team had been dealing with. But I do think it's worth pointing out that his return is coming at a good time in a number of areas. Number one, this team has now won 3 in a row after what was arguably the low point of the season in that loss to the Utah Jazz 1 week ago today. And let's just say, and let's go back to that game, by the way. Bobby Portis had been struggling. Bobby Portis has played pretty well the last three games now, and especially last night. Because, look, Damian Lillard, rightfully so, gets the headlines and the attention for that 35-foot game winner at the buzzer. Giannis, by the way, had a triple-double that gets lost in the shuffle. That game featured, I believe, 8 players that scored 20 or more points, 4 on each team. But Bobby Portis and Cam Payne were both very huge in that win for the Bucks because it was their play in those moments. Whether or not you should have tried to stagger things a little differently is a different conversation, but you had a stretch with no Giannis and no Dame on the floor. Bobby Portis and Cam Payne were what kept you afloat, and not only that, increased your lead in those minutes. They came in and gave you a big contribution. Bobby's played much better the last three games, and the numbers dictate and back it up. He has been very good at home, much better at home than on the road. I think it's easy to explain and understand why. He feeds off the crowd, vice versa. He's an emotional guy. He plays better in front of the home crowd when he has that that support of Fiserv Forum behind him. He puts up more numbers, averages more points, more rebounds per game, and he's more efficient as well, shooting better than 50% from the field and over 40% on threes at home this season. He's been playing well of late. The point is, if Jay Crowder, let's say, came back after that game against the Jazz a week ago. Not that you're expecting, again, Jay Crowder to be the savior, but the expectations and the pressure that's heaped upon him are much different. If it's, we were just down by 33 points to the Jazz. We did cut it to 7 at one point, but we lost a very bad loss that we had. We need you to come back and fix this. And, oh, by the way, Bobby Portis is struggling. So no pressure, Jay, but we kind of need it from you. He's in a better spot now in that the team has played much better. 3-game win streak. And, again, you have 5 very winnable games in front of you here. Bobby Portis has been playing better. And now for Bobby, it's a matter of let's bottle that and keep it going on the road, too, that it kind of lessens what you're asking Jay Crowder to do. He's not going to fix everything, but he is going to make you better, and he is going to improve a lot of those things the Bucks had struggled with, namely defense and the way that they can play differently, because I've seen some chatter about Brook Lopez, and I still think it is very similar to all the Chris Middleton conversations we've had in the past, that I'm not saying, look, if you think Brook Lopez is bad, you just don't understand. But I am kind of saying that in that I think it's easy to pile on Brook and say, well, why is the opponent scoring so many points in the paint? And how many times did we see Brook Lopez challenged by Domas Sabonis and the Kings were scoring? It seems like it's been a layup line. It's not entirely on Brook Lopez. The numbers are pretty similar to his shots contested, a little more last year than he had this year. But last year it was by design, the contests, that you would have Jrue Holiday at the point of attack on the perimeter, funneling the offense into Brook Lopez, into a specific area where Brook Lopez is for him to contest those shots. The difference is this year, it's been blow-bys and beating the defense on the perimeter and at the point of attack where Brook Lopez not only has to contest the shot, but then you got to worry about who's cleaning up if there's a miss. So I think we do have to take that into account at times with Brook Lopez when I see a little bit of jumping to conclusions. But the point is, you still need to have more clubs in the bag. You have to be able to play different ways. It can't just be, we play Brook Lopez in the drop and we're going to try to pressure on the perimeter. You've got to be able to switch. And again, I've mentioned this a number of times, but listen to the smartest coaches out there when they talk about their defensive philosophies, and it'll teach you a lot. I listened to Eric Spoelstra talk about defending pick and rolls, and I keep going back to this clip. But the league is so different now than it was 10, 15, 20 years ago. Even in the last 5 years, the changes that we've seen, because it is pick and roll based. It is no longer back to the basket post-based offense, and it hasn't been back to the basket for decades. But it is very, very pick and roll centric. So you have to be able to defend that. And for a while, there was a challenge of figuring out how do we defend this, and that's where the drop defense came in. And then you saw teams figuring out ways to attack that and exploit that, and the skill of players in this league growing, more and more talented players, more than ever before. And you have a number of these guys that can hit shots in the mid-range, that are good at floaters, that can handle the ball, that can attack big men and can attack those mismatches in a pick and roll. So you have to adapt defensively. And the way you do that is by switching. It is not easy to find. There are very few teams that have it. But ideally, you have a big man that can play on the perimeter and defend guards. If you've got that, you're going to have a pretty good defense. Look at Miami with Bam Adebayo. Rudy Gobert, to a lesser extent as well, he can do some of that. He's more closer to the Brook Lopez, but I think you can put him on the perimeter more than Brook. Like, those are the types of guys that you need. And you may say, well, you just said it's tough to find him. That is true. But the Bucks also have one of those. His name is Giannis. But you don't want Giannis to play the five all of the minutes that he's on the floor every single game of the regular season. You save that for those clutch minutes and closing time of games, and you save that for the postseason. You need a small ball four that can do the same to unlock those lineups. When they won the title, that was PJ Tucker. For nine games, which, as you've heard me caution over and over again, that's not a large sample size, but still, for nine games this season, that was Jay Crowder. So that gives you another club in the bag to play differently, that we can play against traditional bigs with Brook, and we can start games like this when it starts to go south, if it starts to go south, and when the game plan changes, we can also play smaller and go with Giannis and Jay and who else? Maybe Andre Jackson Jr., Damon, Chris Middleton, maybe that. But you can play differently. So that's the impact that Jay Crowder is going to bring. And look, here's the last thing to say about Jay. We don't have the injury report yet. We won't see it until tomorrow. I would assume he won't be listed on it for the Cavaliers if he made this proclamation that he is back. But the other thing to keep in mind, as we've already kind of navigated through this with one other player recently, you know, you only play 48 minutes in a game. It's not like Jay Crowder comes back and now the game's going to be 10 more minutes. So you've got to find the minutes for Jay Crowder elsewhere. We've seen Marjon Beauchamp fall out of the rotation. We saw up until last night, and part of that was the absence of Chris Middleton, but we saw Cameron Payne fall out of the rotation for about three games. As much as we love Andre Jackson Jr., and Adrian Griffin had said after that game against the Warriors, actually before the game against the Warriors, that Andre Jackson Jr. reminds him of Christian Brown of the Denver Nuggets, who had some up and down play as a rookie a season ago, but he was a part of the rotation and a big contributor in the playoffs. And that's what Adrian Griffin sees in Andre Jackson Jr. But you still got to find those minutes for Jay Crowder from somewhere. So if that means it's Andre Jackson Jr., it may well be him. Don't be disappointed, because this is all part of the ebbs and flows of the season. You're going to take your time with Jay, and I would assume they're going to bring him along slowly in his ramp up here. But it may be Andre Jackson Jr. It may be Bobby Portis. Those minutes have to come from somewhere, and that's what the Bucks are about to experience in these coming days here. I do have two numbers that I mentioned earlier may either shape and change your view of this Bucks team, or if you're already in that, hey, I think everything's going great and I feel good about the postseason, it'll reinforce that belief. I'll share those numbers with you as we wrap up the show after this on Bucks Weekly.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station. Yeah.
All right, we will get to those numbers that I've mentioned a couple of times. 11 games on this NBA schedule today. You had games in the afternoon, and again, Christmas Day, MLK Day, those are two big days on the NBA calendar. First game of the day was in Philadelphia, where the 76ers beat the Rockets 124-115. I bring up this game because it marked the return of Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid, by the way, had missed, I want to say, four games consecutive.
Yeah, is he going to be eligible for awards at the end of the year? It's going to be close.
So, Philadelphia is, I believe, 25-13 on the season.
Sure.
I was going to say, can you confirm that?
I can confirm that.
I think they're 25 and they are 25. I just did it for you. They're 25-13, so they played 38 games. Joel Embiid, I believe, has missed 8 games so far. There's an easy way to figure that out as I'm stalling for time while I do that. But 17 is the max that you can miss to still be eligible for what you referenced, the awards and All-NBA, all of those honors. Joel Embiid so far has played in 27 games. I believe today was 28.
So he's missed 10 games. Yeah, it's not looking great.
That is not good. Which means, and look, we know these things are important to Joel Embiid because he himself has said they're important. Already having missed 10 games means you're going to likely be in a spot. And I'm not sure about tomorrow, by the way, because the Sixers have a back-to-back taking on the Nuggets. And I believe some of the chatter out of Philadelphia was that Embiid would play in one of those two games. So the discourse was around, which of these two games do you think he plays? Against the Rockets in an NBA TV game, or I believe tomorrow is a national game against the Denver Nuggets. And let's also keep in mind, Joel Embiid has a bit of a reputation now.
Of dodging competition.
Of dodging some of the tougher competition out there. But the larger point is you're going to be approaching the second half of the season where it may be, and he missed the last three games. Played two games prior to that before missing four games. So you're going to be reaching a point in the second half of the season where it may well be, hey, you got to play just about every game. You can only miss, let's say, five games. So if he misses tomorrow's game, that's 12 games out already, or 11 games out. So you've only got six more in the second half. This one is especially eyebrow-raising. I won't say concerning because it was knee swelling and soreness that he was dealing with. And Ramona Shelburne of ESPN did say, you know, it was similar to what he experienced in the postseason leading into that, where that's an injury that they would say is typically a 4 to 6 week injury. That doesn't sound too comforting to me if I'm a Sixers fan. And also, if he is putting his pedal to the metal down the stretch, I don't know if that's good either for a guy that has had a long history of going into the playoffs banged up or dealing with an injury there. But that's Philadelphia's problem to deal with, not the Bucks. That was one of the marquee games of the day. It's the reason why I bring it up, the Sixers and the Houston Rockets. The Pistons won. They beat the Wizards 129-117. Break up the Pistons.
Four wins now.
They're starting to pick up some wins at a high volume. And the Bucks' next opponent, the Cavs, beat the Bulls 109-91. So those two numbers really quickly here. The Bucks with last night's win are now 16-6 in clutch games. Those are games that at any point in the final 5 minutes, it is a 5-point margin. The Bucks have won 16 of the 22 games they have been in. Only the Magic have a higher winning percentage in those games. The Magic are 12-4, and the Bucks are 7th in offensive rating, 5th in defensive rating, 5th in net rating. The Bucks, the Knicks, and the Nuggets are the only teams that are all in the top 10 of each of those categories in clutch games. And the other one is against the top 10 teams in the league. We've mentioned the Bucks have not played an overly challenging schedule, but They're 5-2 against the top 10 net rating teams. First on offense, second in defense, first in net rating. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Bucks Weekly. But again, the Bucks in Cleveland on Wednesday night. And as always, stick around after the game for Bucks Talk.